Rachel, you have made absolute magic here.
Oh, a chance in a lifetime to work on a building of this scale and style. You seem a bit down, Patrick.
You know, I've been thinking. I studied this bloody thing back in 1962. What is that, 3.5 years out of my life? There were so many moments during those years when I feared it would be no more than a pipe dream, that I'd never see it as a fully functioning hotel. Now I can see it, I can touch it, and I think I can actually start to plan the opening. I ought to be swinging from the chandeliers.
Honey, ease up on yourself. The kind of effort you've put in over all this time, it takes its toll.
Oh, no, you're not saying that Patrick O'Neill has lost his get-up-and-go, are you?
No, Patrick, I just
meant... Oh, come on, come on. I want you to meet the new manager, Jim Costello. He's a great guy, real fine. Grew up in the hotel business.
Take a look around, Tony. I told you it was a big place. It'll be opening soon, and then the money will come rolling in.
This is some joint, all right. So the Da is a millionaire.
This must be the new manager. Hi, I'm Kerry O'Neill. You must be Jim Costello. My father tells me there's nothing you don't know about the hotel business.
Let's hope he still says that when his hotel is open.
Bit of a backwater, eh?
I don't think so. It's a friendly place. And we hope to be so busy I won't have much time for the bright lights myself.
All work and no play makes Jack.
Yeah, that's me. Are you in the hotel business too, Mr.?
Tony's a friend of mine up in the far north. Just brought him in to see the ancestral home rise again.
Oh, are you pleased with it?
It's my father's dream. I guess he's got what he really wanted.
You'll be coming back.
Hey, relax, Jim. There's going to be no fatted calf killed for me, not for a long time. No, you're safe here for a few years yet.
I'd say there's plenty to keep us both occupied if you do come back. Your father has some very grand plans.
Do you think they'll work out?
Not all of them, but enough of them will. And I'd say he's a man who would learn by mistakes, am I right?
Yeah, that's true in most areas. He's extraordinarily practical. But he wants so much for this to succeed, it could blind him.
Kate, I'm sorry I'd find you back here. You got anything?
Oh, Patrick, how are you? Come on in, sit down.
Hi.
I didn't know you were in the place at all.
Oh.
Did you come in here to draw heavy breaths at me?
No, I'm just feeling a little low, that's all.
What has you low?
I'm not sure. It's funny, isn't it? I got everything I wanted. God knows I've actually finished the thing.
So, what's wrong?
Well, it's just that I worry now, all the time, that coming back like I did maybe wasn't the right thing to do.
It's not like you, Patrick. That's not the Patrick I know.
Every time I look at you in that goddamned wheelchair, I think to myself, if I'd stayed in New Jersey, you'd still be on your feet. I swear to you, Kate, if I could turn time back, I wouldn't be here. If my coming back meant that you'd end up like this.
You didn't do this to me, you big loudmouth clown. I did it. I walked under the bloody digger.
I came here today to warn you.
About what?
About the case, the settlement. Nothing short of a miracle is going to put you on your feet again, so you got to get as much to make your life better. You got to get as much money as you can, Kate, and you only have one chance to do that.
Why are you telling me this?
If the case goes to trial, which it may, the insurance company will try to prove to a jury that you live a fine life, that you're a woman who ought to be grateful to have a roof over her wheelchair. They're going to fight to make you take less.
Why?
Oh, I know you, Kate. This I'm fine, thank you very much, air you wear around like a cape. It
I
won't help you.
The way it suits me.
Okay, but if we go to court, I'm telling you, you're going to have to drop this brave way of presenting yourself.
You sound just like Fergus.
No wonder half the town is in love with you.
Hmm.
I could fall in love with you myself.
Oh, steady. It's easy to say you could fall in love with the unattainable. That's very Irish, Patrick. That's just the kind of thing all those mountainy old bachelors would say.
Now, that's me, all right. An old mountainy bachelor.
Well, that'll certainly disappoint the gossips here.
Gossips? What do they say?
That you intend to ask Rachel to marry you someday.
Yeah, and I just don't handle things very well sometimes.
Patrick, there are some things that it isn't a matter of handling or sorting out like a business deal.
I know.
Ferns Court Hotel, Jim Costello here.
It's Kerry O'Neill. Is my father there? I need to speak to him urgently.
Mr. O'Neill, it's your son. Would you like a bit of peace and quiet?
Hey, no, that's okay. Yes, Kerry?
Father, I'm in a bit of trouble financially.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd be grateful if you'd bail me out. Are you still there, Father?
Yeah, I'm here.
What did you say?
Nothing yet.
Will you?
I don't know.
You said you would.
No, I said we'd discuss it. We are discussing it. How much?
£1,000.
£1,000? Well, that's a nice round number. You serious?
Yeah.
Where are you going to find it?
Look, Pop, we made a deal.
No. Now, I said we'd discuss it. But one thing I won't do is to cough up a year's wages and give it to some insolent pup who calls up and demands it by right.
Father, look, this is serious.
You bet your ass it's serious, Carrie.
Look, aren't you even going to discuss it?
Sure, we'll talk about it. When you come home.
I could come back today.
No, you're not. You're going to stay where you are and you're going to do the work you were hired to do. We'll talk about it in a few weeks' time when you're back here for the opening. Meanwhile, you're just going to have to do the best you can. Life isn't easy, Carrie. Learn it the hard way.
3.5 years of his life. And what about my life? And all the years before when I devoted myself to his business, always there for him no matter what hour of the night he came to my door needing some comfort. And when has he ever been there for me? I don't think I can do this anymore. The game is too arduous. If I blow cold, he runs after me. If I show some response, he runs away. It's all so immature. It's so unsatisfying. Maybe I should finally give up the struggle. This never-ending spiral of hope. But what of all the years to come, Rachel? Can you really face that alone?
Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Carrie.
So, how have you been?
Well, you?
To be honest, I think I'd be better with a drink inside me.
Well, you know me, Carrie, a non-drinking lady.
Surely my pop keeps some drink here?
Your pop lives in the lodge, Carrie. I live here.
So what, you never see him?
At work.
Anyway, I want to talk to you, not him.
I told you I don't have any drink.
Well, that doesn't matter. I have. Now may I come in? Wow! Nice view of Fern's Court.
I can provide a glass and water.
Ah, great. This is far too elegant a place for a man to sit drinking a bottle by the neck. Come on, Rachel. Let me add a splash of the hard stuff to that orange
No,
there.
No, thank you. Huh? Your health.
And yours. So, how long are you going to be with us?
I was just going to ask you the same question.
Oh, I'm here for the duration, Rachel. This is my home.
Of course. And has your father decided what part you will play in the hotel?
I'm sure you're much more aware of what my father has decided or has not decided than anyone.
My involvement is always in ideas for design. It's a job that needs extraordinary patience. Lucky I have it.
Well, perhaps you've been too patient. You know, hanging around too long, hoping that eventually the world will settle down as you would like it, as you design it.
At least the day of the opening is in sight, and then we'll see if it works.
What will you do then?
I'm not sure.
Rachel, not sure. Here. I'm going to mix you a drink. Sounds as if you need one just as much as I do.
I told you, Carrie, I don't...
Too strong, I promise. This is just a little light cocktail I learned how to mix in the hotel up in Donegal. It's very popular with the ladies there, especially the ones who don't usually indulge. There. That's better.
What have you put in this, Carrie? It tastes very bitter.
Rachel, I had to come and see you. I need to know what's happening. I mean, Father has me up at the other end of the country, and he's so unapproachable. He tells me none of his plans.
Patrick can be very difficult to deal with. I think he finds it very hard to express himself to you.
I'm his son. His flesh and blood. It shouldn't be so goddamn hard for him to express himself.
Oh, he does care for you. I know he does.
Yeah, and I know how fond of you he is, too. I didn't always want to see it, I can tell you, but... But you've been a part of my father's life for a very, very long time. And a lot of people didn't rate your chances very highly, I can tell you.
I don't know how you could know any of this. You were a child.
Yeah, sure I was a child. I didn't know really, not for certain. Not until my mother's last illness. That's when I knew. Here, let me top you
no,
up again.
No.
You see, those nights when she was alone in the house and he was with you, out until the early hours of the morning, sometimes I stood on the landing and watched him go into the cloakroom and rinse his mouth out, freshen himself up before he came up to her bedroom. She was always awake, always waiting for him to come back from you.
He sat in a chair drinking whiskey, just as you're doing now. That's why he used a mouth rinse. It wasn't to hide traces of me. He sat talking about her illness, about you all. That's all I gave him those months. Just a chair, a whiskey, and an ear for his troubles.
He had plenty of ears at home if he had come there.
But you were so young. Your mother was so frail. He couldn't.
Don't you talk of my mother. Don't you bring her casually in like
that. Harry, this is absurd. You mention your mother. You mentioned something that's upset you in the past. I was merely telling you what it was really
like. I don't want your version of what things were really like. If it were a true version, I'm sure it would be certainly very, very sordid.
You're unfair to your father and everyone if you persist in believing this.
Oh, yeah. So it was all hand-holding and platonic. Don't be so goddamn pathetic,
Rachel. I am not pathetic. I'm telling you what's true. During the time at Kathleen's...
I told you not to mention her name! Oh, God. I'm sorry. Rachel, look, I guess I'm upset. I shouldn't take it out on you. Look, please, Rachel, I spoke out of turn. Please, sit down and talk to me. I didn't intend to come here and harangue you. I just needed someone who would understand. And you're probably the only person on the planet who really knows how I feel. You're just as much a victim of his selfishness as I am. He never had time for me, and now he says that there won't be a place for me in the hotel. I guess he said something similar to you.
I could have fitted in here. I could have stayed and been part of it.
And now you think you'll go back?
Well, I decided today I'll have to go back. He thinks he doesn't need me. He thinks he can manage on his own.
I know. Your rings are very beautiful. Did you choose these yourself? Or were they a gift?
Your father bought me a topaz long, long time ago. And the emerald I bought myself.
It means fidelity, a topaz.
My, that's a topaz, too.
Yeah. Topaz, that's right.
And was that a gift, or did you buy it like I bought my emerald?
It was both in a way. I paid for it to be made into a tie pin, but it was a gift from my mother. Father gave her a topaz for fidelity also, you see. He never asked for it when she died. I don't know if he realizes that this is where it ended up.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
Good morning, Jack. You were up and at it early this morning.
I happened to bite to eat in the house.
What you need, Jack Coyne, is a wife to look after you.
Mr. Coyne, how are you?
I'm fine. Fine.
Ah, good. Loretto, can I have some oranges, please? Oh, sorry, Jack. Am I cutting
and
it on you here?
Not at all. Go right ahead.
Oh, thanks very much. And I'll have half a dozen eggs, 4 slices of that great bacon, and bread. Oh, yeah, and a packet of aspirin, too, please.
Will I wrap them?
No, that's fine, Loretto. I can manage them up the stairs. Can't keep a lady waiting now, can I?
Oh, my God. Oh, my head.
Hi there. I got you some orange juice. I squeezed 6 oranges, so you're gonna love it. And if you feel strong enough, I'm going to do you some eggs.
Oh, not eggs.
I got some bacon, but I wasn't sure.
Harry, how did I...
I got them in Loretto's. Oh, and I got you some aspirin, too.
You told Loretto?
She's really come on in that little store, hasn't she? Jack Coyne was in there. Father says he's a crook, but, you know, I think he's an okay guy. Hey, but enough about him. Let's talk about you and me.
O'Neill.
Dennis Hill here, Patrick. Just rang to know if everything's all right.
Well, that's good of you, Dennis. Ah, things are crawling along, but we might even have enough water to make you a cup of coffee at the opening.
I mean about your little girl.
Grace?
Is she recovering?
Recovering? From what?
The accident. The accident on the bridge.
Wait a minute, Dennis. Jim, did you hear anything about Grace having an accident? On the bridge?
No, nothing at all. I saw her cycling by not 5 minutes ago with Michael Ryan.
Thanks. No, Dennis, Grace is fine. Where did you hear this?
Well, I heard what your son told me yesterday. He'd a call saying his sister had an accident in a fall from a bridge.
What?
Yeah, she'd been playing jumping and diving games with other children. He said that he had to go to Montfern at once.
Oh.
Naturally, I gave him permission.
Dennis, there was no accident.
I'm delighted to hear it. He's a difficult lad, your son.
Yeah. Tell me straight, Dennis. Has he stolen anything from you?
No, nothing like that.
Well, you better make sure before you fire him. You are going to fire him, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it's better to send him back to you. There's something there that attracts him.
Well, I'll be damned if I know what it is.
Could be a girl. He's a handsome fella, sir.
Yeah, the only one I know he spends any time with is an underage schoolgirl.
Sir Grace is good, isn't she?
Yeah, she's the best.
So when I see Kerry, will I tell him to call you?
No. You know, just tell him to pack up his things and get out. Thanks.
She look good, she look fine. There she goes, she blow my mind. On my mind. Oh, goddamn Lord.
Hey, Pop. What are you doing here?
I'm looking for you. Now get out of the car.
Look, I'm sorry. I was over too far and going a little fast, I guess. Still, no real harm's done. Can we get your car out, or should we...
Where are you going?
Well, I was coming to see you. I wanted to talk to you urgently, and then I was going to head for Donegal. I told Mr. Hill that I'd do my best to get back today, you know, and he trusts me, so I think I should...
Hill doesn't trust you any more than I do. He's fired you.
He wouldn't do that.
Well, he did.
Oh. So he suddenly made up his mind and called you to tell you rather than me.
Dennis Hill called me because he was concerned that a little girl, your sister, fell off a bridge and that her brother had to race her at bedside. He called me to find out how Grace was doing.
I see.
Now what you did turns my stomach.
I needed to sort something out and I needed to see you.
Well, by God, you're seeing me! And you better say what you have to say, and you better make it quick. I don't have much patience for liars.
Pop, the money.
Oh, you need the money. Well, I'll tell you something. You're not going to get one penny out of me.
Okay, I wanted to come and tell you personally the kind of people that they are.
I don't care who they are. I'm not covering your losses, Carrie. Not after the stunt you pulled.
Look, Father, these people are really, really tough.
Good. You finally met your match. Somebody else who won't put up with your antics.
You would not say good if you knew... Tony said that they're getting really, really annoyed with me.
Oh, Kerry. You are one spoiled, selfish brat. And that's my fault. I didn't see what was happening to you. I was too busy, God forgive me.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he will forgive you, Father. You see, God always forgives someone who talks nicely to him, and someone that turns up at Mass no matter what he's been up to. And someone who puts, you know, stained glass windows into churches and new buildings into Catholic school. God loves him mightily.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
No, I mean, you can get away with it, Pop. You always have. You can cut corners, you can break promises, and you can give every goddamn tart in town a topaz.
Kerry, don't talk to me like that!
As the Easter Jews are generous,
Kerry,
God turns a blind eye! God understands a bit of battering too, Pop. You know, if it's done in the right cause. Go ahead. I don't care. I don't goddamn
care. Oh, you'll
care
when you're out looking for a real job for the first time in your life. Oh, yeah. And you'll care when 3/4 of your wages go to pay off a debt that'd keep an honest man awake to think he owed it.
You don't think for a moment that they're going to wait to be paid at £15 a week? They want it now, or Monday at the very latest.
Well, that's your problem, isn't it? Think of it as your apprenticeship. Oh, they'll wait.
They can't wait. These are not ordinary people. These people are part of an organization.
Oh, no, it's an organization, is it? What organization is that?
A movement in Derry.
Well, you expect me to believe that? The border campaign's over.
No, it is not.
Well, your former employer seems to think so.
Oh,
he told me himself.
Hill's a fool. I mean, he knows nothing.
And you do. Now, cut the crap. The only thing these guys have organized themselves to do is to smell a sucker. And boy, did they find one. Now, you go collect your things from Mr. Hill. He knows you're light-fingered, so there's no point in trying to dip into the till before you leave.
What? You told him?
You can stay at the lodge when you get back. It's paid for till Christmas. Grace and I are moving to the hotel.
I am not going to plead with you. Okay, but could you just give me this steak, and then I swear I will never ask you
again.
And
if I did that, next month it'll just be £1,500. Now you go and tell those jokers that you're just going to have to wait until you've earned it.
Yeah, hello?
It's me, Tony. Tony McCann.
Oh, yeah?
The check doesn't work.
I don't believe you.
You'd better believe me.
Oh, God, that bitch. That stupid bitch.
You'll sort it out then.
I'll sort it out, yeah.
Brian.
Give me a large brandy, will you, John?
Oh, well, things must be bad over at the hotel if you're having large brandies before lunch.
I'll be hiding them in a tea flask, I tell you.
Any one thing or things in general?
Ach, nothing would please a great O'Neill these days. Nice. He went off to meet the woman out in the wood as if they were a pair of kids. He's back inside there now with a face on him that would stop a clock.
And did she come back with him?
Indeed she did not. Those two are like the things you see, you know. When one comes out, the other goes in. There's another one there. One means sun, one means rain.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just as well you weren't laying into the booze when the hotel was being put up. Nobody is there to go into the place at all for fear of it coming down on top of them.
Don't turn on the light. Why'd you do that? I want us to sit and have another nice talk in the twilight. Maybe we could give you another drink and get you all amorous again, eh? That would be nice.
If you don't leave, I will.
You're not surprised to see me?
I knew you'd be here sooner or later.
Yeah. You see, there was a little misunderstanding about that check you gave me.
I changed my mind. I canceled it.
That was a very foolish thing to do.
Are you going?
No, and neither are you. You see, this is Mount Fern, Rachel. This is not an apartment. It's a couple of rooms over a store. It's where you have to stay because you're not good enough to stay in the Grange and because you'll never stay in Fern's Court. Wait, just see how hopeless it is for you. Look, write this check out again with a note saying that it was all a mistake.
I'm going for Patrick.
You're going for my father?
If his son is behaving like this and harassing me, then he'll want to be told.
Rachel, you live in a world of romantic movies. Grow up. Look at reality. I mean, you're a has-been. A passed-over, middle-aged woman. What will my father make of it when I tell him of all the fun and games we had?
Carrie, I've already told him. He knows nothing happened between us.
Does he? So, how did you explain to him why you wrote the check in the first place if nothing did happen?
Mommy, the doctor's here.
Okay, Declan, love. Now go on outside and play like a good boy.
Oh, please, can I stay in?
No, love, go on. Go on.
Okay.
Will you miss them when they go back to school tomorrow, or will it be a bit of peace for you?
I suppose I'll feel they can get up to less trouble inside the walls of the school than roaming wild around this place.
You're pale. Any pains and aches?
I've an upset stomach. I seem a bit nauseous. But somehow I think it's tasting all this food we're going to be offering in the pub, if there's anybody to offer it to.
Do you need to take this on?
It's take it on or go under.
The compensation, maybe?
It won't keep a family, Martin. Oh, Lord God, how I'm dreading that court case on Thursday. The palms of my hands start to sweat every time I even think about it.
I'll come over and give you a mild tranquilizer on Thursday morning.
Will it make me dopey or stupid sounding?
Nothing could do that. It'll take the sharp edge off the anxiety, that's all.
won't affect your powers to say yes or no to £1 million.
I'm not the one saying yes or no. It'll be John and Fergus.
Is there anything wrong, Kate? Anything you want to talk about?
Anything wrong apart from being paralysed, in a wheelchair for life, possibly losing all our trade to a bar across the river? No. No, Martin, not much.
See you on Thursday, then.
Martin, I'm sorry.
Now, why should you be sorry?
For being a smart aleck. You're being very kind. There is something wrong, but it's very hard to say. It's just that there's no me nowadays. It's if I've lost my personality or something.
I don't know what to say to you, except that you must be half cracked. Aren't you a legend for miles around?
Thanks, Martin. It's probably an attack of nerves over this court case.
That's my Kate.
Oh, yeah, I've been to the bank all right. Your friend told the bank that, after all, she had made a mistake. The cheque hadn't been stolen, but it still stopped. It can't be cashed. You still owe us £1,000.
What?
And there could be a way around the problem.
Well, how?
It'll involve storing some things in a very safe place.
Hello, Kerry.
You look like a flower in that dress. What is it?
You know, the whole town knows.
Knows what?
Mrs. Fine.
She's pathetic. I mean, you know that she fancied my father for years. And you got tired of her. Now she made... Well, look, it's too much to talk about, really.
No, it isn't.
Well, look, she made some silly advances at me. She got all drunk and slobbery, saying that she loved it here in Mount Fern, and why couldn't she stay? And then she... Well, it's gross. I had to untangle myself and put her to bed. I went back the next morning to see that she hadn't done herself in or anything, and I got her breakfast. I mean, Dara, look at me. Am I the kind of guy to go for a woman old enough to be my mother?
I don't know. When I was in France, I saw these fireflies. I asked Madame what they were called. She said mouchefou. I kept saying it to myself. Mouchefou, mouchefou. And every time I said it, I thought of you.
So you still love me then?
I found out why we don't have them in Ireland. They're sort of exotic fireflies. And Ireland is too cold and wet and windy for them. They wouldn't survive here. They wouldn't survive here at all.
The barrister, Mr. Kennedy, is here with Fergus. They're inside in the bar.
Oh, right, Mary. I asked them to come through, would you?
Grand. Would you
like
to go this way?
Oh, Mr. Kennedy. Hello. Come in. Sit down. Sit down.
John.
Hello, Mr. Kennedy.
Kate.
Hello.
John.
How are you? Well, I'm sorry to intrude upon you at this hour, but there's been a development.
They've made an offer. £6,000.
My God.
Dear God, that's a great deal of money.
Probably what our house and pub are worth all in all.
Oh, John, what do you think? Should we just accept it? And then we wouldn't have to go to court at all tomorrow.
Well, we could go into court and fight all day and come out with less. But the fact that they offer it at all the night before means that they think it might go further against them.
Yeah. Oh, it's very tempting to say we'll take it.
Yeah, it's so tempting that I have to think it's the wrong decision. It'd be so easy to finish it now and say we'll take it and put the money in the bank for the children to go to university, maybe, or for rainy days.
So you'd like to refuse it?
Well, I have this feeling that you shouldn't accept the first offer. I mean, am I right?
What do you think, Fergus?
I think it isn't enough, Kate.
Right. Mr. Kennedy?
Well, I'm in agreement with John, but then it didn't happen to me. We should listen to your wishes.
Well, it's up to you, Kate.
Right. I think we owe it to the children to do this for them. Let's go into court tomorrow and fight.
Let me just put a little eyeshadow on you, make you look more attractive.
It's a country jury. They'll think I'm the whore of Babylon if I appear in court sporting eyeshadow.
Oh, stop making people into yokels, Kate. This is 1966. They all move with the times here like everywhere else. There. You look lovely. Have you been to the lavatory?
Yes. And I haven't had food or drink pass my lips, so I should be all right.
Kate.
Yes?
Patrick wants you to get a lot. You know that. He says...
No. Please, no.
You're my friend. You'll always be my friend, even when he's married to someone with 10 saints' names who had the good fortune to come from this one-horse town.
Rachel.
What loyalty do I owe him? He says you shouldn't take any less...
No! Do you hear me? No! You must stop. If there's going to be any dignity, anything saved from this circus that I'm heading off to, then the only way is to do it honestly.
I wasn't going to...
You were going to tell me what his side are prepared to go to. I can't know that. Do you see that? I must never know what they're willing to give.
It's just because you're my friend. I want the best for you.
I know you mean well, Rachel. But if I have any hope of living with this man as my neighbour across the river, with us depending on him for our custom from his hotel...
He's on your side. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I know. Now, Rachel, fine. Can you kiss me goodbye and wish me good luck?
Sergeant Sheehan. Just the man I wanted to see. Here. In the early hours of the morning, I saw Kerry O'Neill carrying the... boxes or crates or something, you know, along the towpath over there. Now, I just thought that that was a bit odd.
Kerry O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just take a look around.
Oh, I should come out driving with you more often, John. You went to all the trouble to learn to drive for me, and I hardly ever get into the car with you. From now on, we're going to have grand drives together, John, just the two of us. I suppose after today we could afford to buy a car better than this one.
What? Well, isn't this one fine for us? To do whatever we want in.
We could do the bar up a bit to help attract more custom when the hotel opens.
What about us all going on a holiday? I mean, we've never really had a family holiday.
No. I suppose we could. Could we? I mean, the wheelchair and everything.
Of course we could. It will ease things, Kate. You know, the money gives you a bit of breathing space somehow.
Well, are you all right?
Yeah. Oh, God, my hands are shaking.
I know, so are mine.
John, I don't want to be carried up all those steps. Come on, let's go around the back way.
Yeah, of course, Kate.
Oh, wait, John, there's Fergus and the barrister.
Is there anything wrong?
You say it, Fergus. Kate, John, they've made another offer.
What did they say?
£8,000.
£8,000?
As your counsel, I must tell you that you do not have to take it. You do understand that, Mrs. Ryan?
Yes, indeed. What do you say?
I say that you should have a quiet moment with your husband and ask each other, do you believe that you can live with this as fair and reasonable compensation for your injuries? And if you can, then I will accept it for you. And if you think that you will always wonder and worry about what you would have got if you'd fought on, then we will fight on.
Kate.
Yes.
We'd like to take it.
You're doing the right thing. I'm sure of it. Come on, Kevin. Let's go and tell them.
Hello, Kerry. Aren't you at the court case giving your father moral support?
You gotta be kidding. My father and I don't speak at all these days, you know, after that fight we had over me leaving the job up in Donegal.
Might as well still be in Donegal for all I see of you.
Come on, look there. I mean, my father refuses to give me a single cent now. I'm doing this really menial job to earn some money. Hey, you remember you promised to cut school one day and I'll take you to Galway?
I know a place we can go, Kerry. It's a tunnel. It used to be a secret place for Michael and me when we were younger, but nobody uses it now.
No. No tunnel, that's out of the question. Will you promise?
Yes, I promise.
Okay.
And now I'm going to kiss those pouting lips of yours. And you're not going to wriggle out of my arms this time, little miss. When I whisk you off to Galway, there are lovely sand dunes there where nobody in the world will find us.
Kate, how beautiful you look. So pleased with yourself. So happy to be sitting there surrounded by your friends. Satisfied that you got a fair compensation. What would you think of me now if you knew that the insurance company would have been willing to go much higher? Oh, God forbid that you should ever know it. Would you even care? My hands were tied, Kate. I couldn't do any more than that.
Here's to insurance companies. All right,
yes, and to justice being done.
John, I got the next one.
What'll it be, Kate?
Oh, no way, Patrick. No more for me. It's gone to my head. I suppose it's the relief.
Oh, I know what an ordeal this has been for you.
But I didn't have to go into the court. You don't know how much of a relief that is, Patrick. I'd have felt like Exhibit One, almost as if they'd wanted to poke me legs to see that they didn't really work anymore. I know, it's daft, isn't it?
Oh, it's just so good to see you laughing and happy, Kate.
It's over now. Can we just get on with being friends and neighbours?
I'll drink to that.
You come in on Saturday morning, there'll be somebody here to let you sign them.
Yeah, then. Look, Paddock. Yeah, look, I'll ring you back in about 10 minutes, if that's all right. Okay, right now, bye. Rachel.
Fergus, your secretary just said to come through.
Oh, right. Well, look, sit down.
Thank you.
Sit down. What can I do for you?
I have to talk to you, Fergus. I can't say any of this to Kate and John.
Oh, is it about the compensation?
Yes. Fergus, they were willing to settle at anything up to 14,000.
14? Oh, God. And I advise them. I advise them to take the offer of 8.
God. I suppose you're wondering why I'm telling you this.
Well, you're Kate's friend. I suppose you're hurt for her.
But I'm also Patrick's friend. You must know that.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I know that.
Patrick has always been fair. But recently, just some madness has entered into him. And he's not being fair at all.
You do know that nothing can be done now.
I know.
And everyone in this place thinks it was enough. So they have their pride, and people won't say it was too much. So the Ryans won't become objects of hate and envy.
She could have got so much more if she'd only listened to me this morning. I tried to tell her.
Well, that's Kate for you. Look, what do you want me to do, Rachel?
Well, I...
Look, my own instinct is to put it out of my mind. Pretend we never had this conversation.
Are you mad at me?
No. No, most certainly not. You've always been a great friend to Kate.
Fergus, would you have listened if I told you instead of trying to tell Kate?
Yeah, I think I would have listened. It would have been unethical, and if anyone heard me saying this, I would be in danger of being struck off. But yes, I would have listened.
I don't think it's unethical to help a friend.
The Incorporated Law Society might not see it that way. They mightn't be so understanding about how fond I am of Kate.
You sort of love her, don't you?
Yes. Yes, that's it. I suppose I do. Sort of. She has everything, you know. Life and common sense and quick, lively mind, which I don't. But you're right. I mean, it's only a sort of love. It's not real love, Rachel. Like, I don't want to take her away from John. I don't want to go to bed with her. You see, I suppose I avoid getting involved with people, and this feeling I have for Kate does as a sort of substitute. Oh, God. Oh, it's very silly, really.
I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have told you. It'll be a hard secret to keep. I won't have to pretend because I won't be around.
Oh, you're going away?
I'm going home.
John, is Kate?
Oh, yeah, she's expecting you. It's good to see you, Martin.
I'm a bit concerned about her. She's so pale and not eating well.
John, she's been under terrible strain waiting for the case to be settled. Now that that's out of the way, you'll see she'll be more like herself again. I know my way.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I'm fine. We've got our phones. All the best, don't worry. Any word of those cards?
Martin, hello. Thanks for coming.
How are you feeling? Have you still been getting those bouts of nausea?
I'm worried, Martin. Terribly worried. You'd think after having four of them I'd know what I was feeling, but since the accident I don't know my own body anymore.
Yes, you do, Kate.
It couldn't be, Martin.
I thought it was possible one day there not long ago.
Ah, but not with me like this.
You know the way it's done, and I'm delighted you're able to do it.
I'm very strong, and a lot of my strength came from you giving me things straight. Will it be dangerous?
Not only will it not be dangerous, it'll be wonderful. I couldn't be more pleased for you.
There it is, Fern's Court. It looks magnificent, Patrick.
I just wish it could have been different for us.
So do I.
It's got nothing to do with you not being Irish, Rachel, believe me.
I do believe you. You see, you've always had a different feeling about being an American to other people I've met in my life. They all loved being American and being whatever else they were. But to you, being an American meant losing being Irish, so you had to come back and recapture it.
It's going to be so lonely here without you.
No, no, you'll have far too much to do. Your days will be filled running your hotel.
And what are you going to do when you go home?
I'll work hard.
Rachel, can't you and I be friends?
Sometime, but not for a while.
Nobody shared as much with me as you have. And I know I'm not very good at giving of
Can
myself.
Can I just say one thing?
Of course.
And you won't get up and walk away? And you won't put on that formal mask with
please,
me?
Please, please, say it.
It's about that night that Carrie came to my room.
Yes.
He came for a purpose. He came for a very specific purpose.
So he told everybody.
Oh, don't be absurd, Patrick. There's really something lacking in you. If you could believe that he could have wanted to be with me in that way.
So why did he come?
He came to warn me off. To send me home. He told me that if I had any hopes of replacing his mother, I should forget them. That I wasn't worthy to mention her name, that our affair was sordid and disgusting, and that her memory would never be sullied by the insult of your marrying me.
I think you're exaggerating, Rachel. Carrie has no feelings for me. Whether I marry or not hardly concerns him.
You may be right, but he has very strong feelings about his mother.
And that's why you're leaving?
That and one or two other things. I think you've changed. I think the effort of making this place has changed you a lot.
Well, perhaps it has.
You were always so straight, Patrick. Back in New York when there was a fight, you fought fair.
And now I don't. I haven't cheated anyone
you
here.
You cheated Kate Ryan.
Well, that's a pretty strong word, Rachel. What was I supposed to say? You were robbed, madam, and please accept my personal check for the balance.
You allowed it to happen. Justice was not done.
And that's my fault?
Yes.
Boy, we have grown apart, haven't we? There was a time when we could have talked this out. And you probably would have agreed that I did the only thing possible. If I couldn't assure the maximum settlement, I did my best. Rachel, I did my best to see that their dignity remained intact.
Even if we'd been able to talk it out all night, I don't think I would have agreed.
But at least you would have understood why I did what I did.
Yes, I'd have understood.
Won't you stay for the opening, please?
No, no. You call me when it's over and tell me how it went.
Well, it'll be good to talk to you anyway by phone. There's so many day-to-day things I want to tell
you
about.
No, no, Patrick, no calls. Only on the day of
Why
the
no
opening.
Calls?
If we're going to live our own lives, it's childish to keep calling each other.
Not even as friends?
We're not friends yet. We will be sometime.
Oh. I really let you down, didn't I?
Let's be the only couple in the history of the world to say goodbye without any recrimination.
Seamus Sheehan here, Mount Fran.
Sergeant Sheehan, good man. I'm delighted with your surveillance work in this matter. I'm always saying that the local man on the spot sees that one little detail, something unusual. I tell you, Sheehan, if we can net these three boys from the north, there'll be promotion in the air. I've been in contact with the police in Derry, and the three, McCann, Byrne and Malloy, are known to them. Tell me the situation on the ground now.
Well, sir, the young American, Kerry O'Neill, has been observed taking boxes and packages into a disused tunnel in the grounds of the new Fans Court Hotel. Now, I have it all set up to close in on the tunnel in the morning.
Good man. Aye, and do it early. One of the top brass is going to be at the opening of that hotel, and there'll be a lot of VIPs, so we don't want an unholy mess in the middle of it.
Oh, the squad will be here just after 9, so we'll move in around 9:30 and have the whole thing wrapped up well before the crowd start arriving for the opening at 11 o'clock.
What about the young lad? He's the son of the owner, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
Well, perhaps we could leave questioning him until after the gala opening. We wouldn't want to upset his father at such a moment. I leave it all in your capable hands, Sergeant Sheehan. I believe in the man in the ground knowing his own patch best.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
How are you, Kerry? Are you coming to call for Air Dara?
Well, don't you think it's just a bit early for that now, Eddie? Hey, does your mother know you're out here on the towpath at this hour?
Oh, I'm allowed. Mom says I've got much more sensible of late.
That's a relief.
Actually, I'm taking part in an undercover operation.
Are you?
Yeah. I saw Sergeant Sheehan around here last night with other guards, and I'm going to follow them when they come back.
Hey, there were guards poking around here?
Yeah, they were very interested in Dara and Michael's tunnel. They think I don't know about the tunnel, but I know everything.
Eddie, you said that they're coming back? How do you know that?
I heard them say it. I was up there in my treehouse, and I heard them say the operation would begin at 9:30, so I'm all ready for action. What time is it, by the way? Hey, Kerry, wait!
No, no, Mr. O'Neill wants the tables on that side of the marquee. The speeches will have to be made from this end. Has that consignment of spirits arrived yet?
Well, I'm not sure, Mr. Costello, but I saw young Kerry carrying a load of boxes in the back way there. He's stacking them in the conservatory.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, we'll have to sort it out later. I can stay there for now. Nobody will be round the back today. If you need more spirits, you know where it is anyway.
Well, Sergeant, what now?
They must have moved it, sir.
What?
During the night.
It was here. The boxes and stuff.
I should have sat here and watched it all night.
God knows where it is by now. Probably the other side of the border.
Probably.
Since there's nothing for us to do here, we'll head back to town. You'll be forwarding a report, Sergeant Sheehan.
Yes, sir.
It's hard to take in, isn't it, Kate? It's 4 years since Patrick O'Neill sat here in the pub and told us about the hotel he planned to build.
3 years since I've been in this chair.
Oh, God, I would give everything to see that place as a pile of stones the way it was. And you running across the footbridge looking for the kids.
Things move on, love. No one can undo what's been done. John, there's something I've been wanting to tell you.
Are you all ready? Can I and Dara go ahead?
Yes, we're ready, Michael. Let's all go together.
Your new jacket looks very well, Michael.
Wait till you see Dara in her new red dress. She looks so grown up and everything.
Stop giving out.
Darling, just stand in close.
Leave me alone. Mommy, look at
the young gorgeous woman over there.
Never you mind gorgeous.
Paddy Donovan, and you see that over there, that would be Protestant Bishop arriving now, Mr. O'Neill. That's Bishop Hawthorne.
Bishop Hawthorne.
It's a big gesture from his side of the house, though. It's a great vote of confidence.
Who's the gentleman over there talking with my son?
Ah, now, that's Sean Molloy. He is the TD for Roscommon. And do you want me to introduce you to Brian Murphy from RTE?
Brian Murphy? Mm. Oh, yes, I met Brian. He interviewed me during the week.
That's right, of course he did, of course. The publicity has been handled so well.
Oh, Mr. Williams, so well. Good to see you here. I really appreciate you coming.
Ah, Mr. O'Neill, you've been a great friend to my little flock, helping us to restore the church window. May I introduce you to some of your neighbours?
Surely.
The Walters and the Harrises, who have estates in this part of the country.
Now, welcome to Ferns Court.
Good to meet you, O'Neill. Marvellous to see Ferns Court rise from the ashes. My father used to visit here.
Well, I hope you'll find it a pleasant port of call yourself.
Indeed, indeed. Harriet, have a word with O'Neill about the Hunt Ball. It's really getting too much for her.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. May I have your attention? First of all, I would like to welcome all of you to Ferns Court, to my home. Because, above all, that's what Fern's Court is to me. A home. As many of you may already know, my father left this place many, many years ago, driven away by poverty to the United States. America has been very kind to me and my family, and I have prospered, but in the midst of all my successes, my heart was always here in Mount Fern. Yes, I dreamed of the day when I would come back here where my father and my grandfather had walked. And you, my friends, have all helped me to realize that dream. It's been,
Mr. Costello,
4 long years since I
came
here.
There's a fire. Will you please come with me?
I'd like to say a special thank you.
Oh, my God, it's in the residence lounge.
There's no one in there. I checked. Where's the nearest phone?
In the office, this way.
You see, I've learned something here. That a homecoming would be nothing if it weren't for the people. Buildings are the body, but the people are the heart. Thank you. My family mean a great deal to me, but in a sense here in Mount Fern, I have found a greater and wider family of friends. And now I'd like to invite you all to join me in a...
Fire!
Ladies and gentlemen, please, hello, everybody, hey, everybody, please stay calm. Please, I'm told everything is under control. There is a small fire in the west wing of the hotel, but it is under control. There's no danger to anyone here in the marquee. Now, please, I'm going to ask all of you to make your way across the footbridge to the other side of the river, just for safety. Please.
Right there! Get back! All of you! Get them back, Costello! Get everyone away from me! Get back! Please! Look, get back!
Son, away from here!
No, you don't! There's guns! It's going to shell ignite! The whole place is going to blow!
Be crazy, Kerry! You can't go in there!
Kerry, I put it there! I gotta take it out!
Kerry, what did you put in there?
Look, I don't know. Guns, ammunition of some kind...
Kerry, are there explosives in there?
Yes, I think so.
What type?
I told you, I don't know.
Explosive.
No, I mean, it wasn't meant to be here. It was McCann's friends.
It's a jellic knife.
I told you, I don't know.
I'll go down the driveway and warn the fire brigade.
Jim, get any drivers and anybody in the buses as far away down the drive as possible and move everybody else to the other side of the river.
Look, Pop. They're all in the conservatory. The fire hasn't got there yet. I mean, we could get them out.
No, that's too hot. No. They could go any minute.
Kerry,
don't go in there. Come back here.
Come back.
Don't go in there.
Go.
Kerry.
Patrick has him. He's bringing him out. He's okay.
God help me, I don't understand these people. How could I ever have imagined myself to be one of them? Look at them. Like children watching fireworks. That's 4 years of my life, folks, going up in smoke. A lifetime of dreams, of effort, such... And for what? What was it all for? I suppose they'll all slip back into their old quiet ways when I'm gone. So you're really going, Patrick O'Neill? Giving up, are you? Well, yeah. Maybe it is time that I quit trying to change the world. And in the process, damage everyone else around me. So what now? Well, there's Grace and Carrie. Lord knows they both need me. And Rachel, if she'll have me back, maybe we could pick up where we left off before I came over here and tore the heart out of this place.
Look at it, John. It's going to burn to the ground. There's been so many times I've wished that place rubble over these last 4 years, but I wouldn't have wished this on the man. How is he going to pick himself up and go on after this?
Well, He's pig-headed enough to want to start again.
Oh, God, he couldn't, could he? I don't think I could bear it.
I'm weary, Kate, and sad. There's been nothing but destruction since that place was begun. There's never any hope.
I'll tell you something about new life and new hope that you'll hardly believe, John Ryan. We're going to have another baby. I'm pregnant.
Kate.
Yes. Yes, Kate. I am. Dr. White says there's nothing to worry about. It's all fine. And it's not dangerous for me or the baby. Oh, John, I'll be able to do so much looking after it. And...
oh, Kate, Kate, my darling, Kate. Another baby.
Another Ryan. Patrick.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Kate, John, I just came to tell you that I'll be going home.